We return this evening to the verse of Scripture that I drew attention to this morning, which is in Isaiah chapter 40, and it's the first verse. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. The context, of course, is the day of great departure by the people of Isaiah's generation. A generation that says, we will not have this God to rule over us. We don't want to know. We don't really care. We're not interested. It could have been written today, because that sadly is the state of the land in which we live. This land that is historically known as the land of revivals, the land of full chapels and full churches. But it's not like that today. And it may be that you're feeling it. It may be tonight that as a child of God who has sought to walk with him through many a long year, you yourself are despondent. Maybe tonight you have that sense of despair that grips your soul. God has something to say to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to give you an assurance that he still loves you. He still cares. But as I said this morning, it may be that there are those who are here tonight, or maybe will be hearing my voice. And you're amongst those who are part of the modern generation, who have no concern for your soul. You have no interest in eternal issues. Your motto is, let us eat, drink, be merry. Let's go with the tide. Let's swim with the flow. I have a word to say to you as well tonight. And that is, time is short. The days are at hand when you will give an account of yourself to the God who tonight perhaps you're denying. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. And so you need to hear the message. You need to understand that in the sight of the holy, righteous God of eternity, you are tonight condemned, unclean. But you see, he's not vindictive. He's a God of love. And even though you may have rebelled and you may have rejected, God wants you to know that he offers you pardon for all your sin. Because that's the essence of the message. That's the essence of what Isaiah has to say in his day and what is being said in our day. Yeah. That on the ground of the fact that the God of heaven has loved this world and loved the world so much that he was willing for his only begotten Son to descend into this world and whilst here to be despised and to be rejected of men, to become a man of sorrows, to be acquainted with grief, to be hung upon a cross. It was for you he did it. It's for your sake. And oh, tonight, ere I finish this sermon, I will plead with you to seek him whilst he may be found, to call upon him whilst he is near. This morning we looked at the company that were to receive the message. My people, special people, precious people. Because you see, every child of God is special to him. I'm aware of the fact that you see there are those who think themselves to be somebody tonight and they're nobodies. But the God of heaven is in the business of taking nobodies and making them somebody. He takes those who are wrecked in sin and he embraces them. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter. And what a privilege tonight to be bestowed upon mankind. And every one of us, my friends, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, you can't dress up and be respectable and pretend in the sight of God, because he penetrates the heart. And so it is that tonight, there are those of us who can say we've been ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And we who are the nobodies of this world have been made children of the living God. You see, tonight, God is my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is my elder brother. And I thank God for the Spirit who assures me that this is true. And for everyone tonight who's a Christian, thank God for it. Because you see, you're the ones who have this special relationship with him. And for you, there's a spiritual pardon that's assured. Your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more. What a joy, what a delight, what a prospect it is for every Christian tonight, that the day will come when we shall vacate this present evil world and enter into that mansion that has been prepared for us. And not one speck of sin will be left there. Not one blemish to your conscience or to your heart will ever be spoken of again. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what it will. To go out into a place where I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, what God has prepared for those that love him. But tonight, as I move on to my final 2 points, I want us to understand that certainty is assured us. You see, these are sure promises. They're sure promises because they have been spoken. That's what Isaiah is quick to understand. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. You see, when we were hearing the announcements this morning, the church secretary reminded us of the letter to the Hebrews. And you see, it's there in Hebrews that the apostle can say, by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. You see, I believe tonight that the Lord loves me. I believe tonight that he sent his son to die for me. Why? Because he cannot lie. And so there is this spoken word that is sacred. The prophet is quick to say in verse 5, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You see, that which was incumbent upon the prophets was to declare and to say, thus saith the Lord. And this is hallowed territory. And so again, the apostle there in the letter to the Hebrews can say, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by nothing greater, he swore by himself. If tonight what I believe is wrong, then God ceases to be God. But thank God, I do believe that he still is. And that his word stands forever. You see, here again in Isaiah 40, he says, the word of our God shall stand forever. What does he say through the prophet Ezekiel? I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. We have solid ground upon which we stand tonight. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his high priestly prayer recorded for us in John chapter 17, and in verse 17, can say of his people, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, it may be very strange tonight. We may be regarded as something that is an oddity in society, but I still believe that this book is true from its cover to cover. And so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he pleads on the behalf of you tonight, my dear friends, he pleads that God will sanctify you and help you to understand that his word is solid ground. In those moments when he was tried by none other than the devil himself, what was his answer? Well, his answer was very clear. It is written. It is written. It is written. And so it is that when you're alone, and maybe there are those moments when you think that you have been forgotten, what does the apostle say? He has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, this is great ground upon which to stand. To realize that the God of heaven, who cannot lie, it is impossible for him to lie, has declared to you, I am your father. You are my sons and my daughters. And so tonight, it's not my feelings. It's not my necessity, my emotions. But the fact that here upon God's word, I can say, whatever may be thrown at me, the devil may jibe me, my conscience may plague me, my heart may fail me, but God's word is sure. It is true. And I am here tonight to declare clearly that the God of the Bible shows and demonstrates without any shadow of doubt that he is not leading you astray. We're not following cunningly devised fables. We're not, as it were, following traditions of our fathers. But we're standing upon the solid word of the living God, the God who caused Scripture to be so inspired that there's not one word of error that's recorded. And you see, that then leads me to a comfortable awareness. Here you see there is a security that's being promised. This is what God wants his people to know. And this is what God wants those who are not his people to know as well. To know what you're missing out at. You see, we're living in a day that is perilous. That's what the Bible says will happen. Perilous times will come. These are dangerous. This is a dangerous era to live in. This is the time of the problem, and it is really problematic to get on today. These are painful hours and days that we spend upon the planet. What's our need? Oh, our need is a sense of safety. to be able to say a sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand. And what's it like, my dear friend, tonight if you're not a believer? Because you have no hope and you are without God in the world. What an awesome situation to be in. To find yourself in this present evil world on your own. If I felt that, I wouldn't get up tomorrow morning. But oh, the joy of knowing a comfort. And the comfort is this: it's a consciousness that God is good, that God is gracious, and that God is great. Can I encourage you? Maybe you've never read a Bible before. Find the page where you'll discover Isaiah chapter 40. May I ask you, if you do nothing else for me, will you not read it? Read it secretly. That is, read it on your own, without any distraction. Turn your phone off. Turn your iPad off. Turn your television off. And go alone. And I pray that the God of heaven will draw near to you in the secretness of your meditation. Read slowly. Take time. Don't rush. Take in what you are reading. And steadfastly move through the words and come to understand that the God of heaven tonight loves his people with an everlasting love for them. And that here we have a peaceful calm. Because back in chapter 12, he says, though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. My dear friends, I love the fact that I can get up in the morning and know that God is on my side. And although I deserve his wrath and his righteous indignation, he has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor does he reward me according to my iniquity. But with loving kindness and with tender mercy, he deals with me and he grants me peace. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that stands guard over heart and mind and keeps us in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. What a joy it is. Because you see, that's what provides cheerfulness. Again, in Isaiah 51, he says, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all the waste places. He will make his wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving in the voice of the melody. Can I address myself first of all to those of you who say you're Christians? Are you glad? I wonder tonight, my dear friends, how many of you can sing and sing with sincerity, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice. Tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day. Jesus washed my sins away. The most excited people on the planet tonight, my friends, should be Christians. To go out with joy and with gladness that the God of heaven has been pleased to look upon you and to say, yes, I want you to be mine and I will be yours. See, some Christians can be the most miserable people I've ever met. But oh, to be able to say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus.
He's more than life to me. The fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Can I ask you, my friends, and remember you're in the presence of a God who knows the truth. When did you last say that and mean it? And when was that portrayed to others? That the delight, the joy of your heart is to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord and your coming King. But oh, there's this, what I call parental care. That lovely passage as Isaiah concludes his prophecy. There in chapter 66, he says, as one who his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. I believe this was on the heart of the apostle when he writes his letter to the Corinthians, and he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Let me say this as I close. Every true child of God can say tonight, if God be for me, who can be against me? Through all the trials, through all the tribulations, through all the ups and through all the downs, he remains faithful. I don't know what questions I'm going to be asked later this evening, but one thing I will testify, that in 55 years of being a Christian, he's never failed me. Through all the changes, he's the one who has supplied all my needs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And tonight I wouldn't want to be anything other than a child of God. But Isaiah says, seek the Lord whilst he may be found. Now there may be those of you who have sought him and you have found him, and we thank God for that. Tonight, it may be that you can look back like myself over many years of knowing that his hand has been upon your life and he has led and directed you, and he's going to keep you until he presents you faultless and stainless in the divine presence. But the burden of my heart today is for those of you who don't know him. Hosea, who was a contemporary of Isaiah, could say it's time to seek the Lord. Can I explain what I mean, what I believe the prophet meant? The prophet doesn't say seek the scriptures and think that the scriptures will save you, because scripture alone won't save you. You see, Nicodemus, the man whom Jesus spoke to, recorded in John chapter 3, was the teacher. He knew his Old Testament inside out and backwards. And yet Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And it may be tonight you've been brought up like I was brought up, to know that the Bible's true and to commit the Bible to your memory. But there came a day in my experience at the age of 20 when I realized beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord, to know him. You see, I'm not asking you to say your prayers tonight, because saying your prayers won't save you. You need to come with an open heart, with a contrite spirit, and bow there and say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. I'm not asking you to sing hymns tonight. Because tonight, the hymn writer is true when it says, thou must save, and thou alone. My dear friend, as I said this morning, I don't know as many here in this church as I used to know. The Lord has taken many of my precious friends home to be with himself. I don't know you, but God knows you. The God who wants to comfort you, the God who wants to save you, the God who wants to give you an assurance that your sins are forgiven, that you can have peace with him, draws near now in the preaching of his word and says, come unto me, all who labor, the heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It may be that you're here tonight and your life's in a mess. There's a turmoil. You don't know which way to turn. Let me tell you, turn to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon and he will save you. And in this February night, in 2020, your eternity may be changed. That you go out to this building with a joy in your heart and a song in your tongue, being able to say, I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Yeah. But let me warn you as I close. If you don't, your prospects are horrendous. If you reject him tonight, then you will go out. The day will come when you will be ushered into an eternity that is indescribable in its horror. You will weep. You will wail. You will gnash your teeth for all eternity. And you will regret for all eternity that you failed to repent tonight and to seek his forgiveness, to know his pardon, and to be assured that you are his and he is yours. Seek him whilst he may be found. Call upon him whilst he is near. And I pray that tonight your eternity will change from horror into delight, to go out into those endless ages where you will indeed enjoy the bliss, the glory of being able to say, yes, I've been saved by grace, kept by grace, and now you will know eternity as a place of grace for yourself. For Jesus' sake. Amen.